Welcome back to Retire Right. This is KP from Financial Edge Group. Here at Financial Edge Group, we help people all around Australia over the age of 50 get to their retirement. On today's episode, we're talking all things age pension. This includes, when can I get it, how much do I get, and what's the process involved? We're joined by Martin McGrath from Financial Edge Group, who specialises in this space. So let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey Martin, how are you going?
Very good. Let's talk about age pensions.
All right. So what is the age pension?
So today we're talking about the Centrelink age pension. So different to the pension you're going to get from your own super fund, but the money we're talking about getting from the Australian government. So the old age pension or the Centrelink pension or the age pension is what most people refer to it as.
And how much is the age pension? Is it enough to fund a full retirement?
So the thresholds, the amounts do change frequently, but at the moment, at the time of recording, in round figures, a single pension for a single person, if you're getting a full pension, is about $28,500 a year. So it's more than nothing, but perhaps not ideally funding your whole lifestyle. And for a couple, it's a bit over $21,000 each. So combined, $42,000. So this is free money, in inverted commas, back from the government. So it's definitely nice to have. But for most people, it doesn't fund a full retirement by itself.
And the tests involved for getting the age pension. So we know that there's an asset test. So what is the criteria? How does someone get an age pension?
So there's a few elements to that. So step number one is we need to be old enough. And it did step up over a few years. For most people today and moving forward, it will be from the age of 67. So criteria number one, we need to be 67 years of age to be eligible for age pension or older. Now, spouses might be of different ages, so one may be eligible, one may not, but we're talking about being from the age of 67. So that's step one. From there are a couple other tests. One's called the asset test and one's called the income test.
How does the asset test work? What does it include? Does that include your house or a rental property or any income that you may have earned before? What's that kind of look like?
Yep. So with the asset test, we're looking at assets. So what is an asset? Basically something that you own. So assets generally can include your house, your car, your contents, your furniture, money in the bank, money hiding under the mattress, money in your super fund, shares, rental property, all that kind of stuff. They're all classed as assets. For the age pension test, Centrelink want to know about most of that stuff. However, importantly, there are a few what they call exempt assets, and the number one and the main thing for most people as an exempt asset is their home. So for most, or as the rules stand, your home's not included in the asset test. So generally, we're looking at your other biggest assets, which might be your car and your caravan and stuff like that, but generally for most people, it's savings in the bank and it's your superannuation assets.
If you're a couple and you're applying for the age pension, coming to the asset test, do they test on what you have together or is it separate or how does it work?
Yeah, so when you apply for the age pension, you're applying under one or two situations. You're either applying as a single person or as a couple or a member of a couple. Now, that's dictated by your relationship. So clearly, if you've been married, you've been married for a couple of decades, you're a part of a couple. If you are separated or you're single or you're widowed, you'd be applying as a single person. So for a single person, it's straightforward. It's just the assets in your name. If you're applying for a couple, it is all the assets that are in either of your names. So it doesn't matter if the bank account's in joint names or just my name or my spouse's name, it's our assets together as a couple. There are some minor exemptions there, the main one being, and we'll get to the more technical stuff later, but basically the money that's in your spouse's name, if they're under the age pension age, that's exempt, but generally otherwise shares, property, cash, it doesn't really matter what name they're in, you're assessed as a couple.
How much can you have? Is there a limit or is there too much or too little? Or
yeah, so there are limits. So there's a cutoff to get a full age pension and there's also a cutoff to get a part pension. And again, these numbers change frequently. Every 3 months or so they can change from the government. But in round figures as they stand today, and even I suppose before we get into that, when you apply, you're also applying either as a homeowner or a non-homeowner, and there's different limits for that again. So let's assume that we're a homeowner, but there are many people who are applying who are non-homeowners. Non-homeowners get a higher limit. They're allowed to have more assets because their home isn't ignored because they don't have one. But for most people, we're applying as a homeowner. So for a single person to get a full pension as a homeowner, your assets are allowed to be around $300,000. And again, this is ignoring the value of your home. To get a part pension, so it means you're not getting the full pension, but you're still getting some and some of the other concession cards, your assets are allowed to be up to $660,000-odd. And again, these are round figures. They're changing all the time. But that's fairly significant. For a single person, they can own their own home. They've paid that off with no debt. That could be worth $500,000, $1 million or more, depending on where you're listening to from around Australia. And you can still have another $300,000 in super and in the bank and get a full pension. Or if you've got, say, $500,000 in the bank, you're getting a part pension, plus potentially you're living off some of your own money. That's for a single person. For a couple, the limits are a bit higher because we're looking at both of your assets. So for a couple homeowner to get a full pension, we've got to be less than about $450,000. So again, that's including the value of your car, the value of the money in the bank, and your super. For some people, they're going to have more than that, but for many, that may be all they have. And therefore, if it's less than $450,000, they get the full pension, up to a part pension cutoff. And that's actually a bit over $1 million. At the moment, it's $1,003,000. So again, that's a fairly significant, potentially a fairly healthy balance that you can own your own home. That might be worth $1 million. You might have cars and caravans worth $100,000. One spouse might have $300,000 in their super. The other spouse might have another $300,000 in their super, and they're still eligible for a part pension, which is not a bad position to be in.
If someone is on a part pension and say, for instance, they downsize their house or they go on lots of holidays and they've spent some money, do they get more of the age pension? Or
so it's adjusted or it's calculated along the way. So on day one, you apply, and that might be the age of 67. You're eligible, you apply, you're assessed at that assets at that point in time. But also it's important that you report and update your assets along the way. So exactly as you just mentioned, I might apply, I might have $500,000 in assets, but I enjoy the life, I do some traveling, the markets maybe didn't go so well and I've lost a bit of value to my superannuation and now it's down to $450,000. It's important to make sure I update with Centrelink what my assets are. Some of that's automated through super funds, but a lot of it has to be done proactively by the person in receipt of the pension. So they might be working with an advisor who does that on their behalf, and we do that for all of our clients. In fact, that's part of your role, KP. If not, it's important they jump onto MyGov, go into Centrelink branch, update those assets, ideally at least annually, to ensure that they're getting the right amount of pension in both ways. If they're getting too much, they may end up with some debt if the government finds out about it, and or they might be entitled to more pension. So it's important to adjust those along the way.
You can definitely see the benefits of having a financial advisor and when it comes to this type of thing and applying for the age pension. So moving into the other criteria to be eligible for the age pension, what is the income test and how does it work?
So assets, I suppose, are things you own. Income is something that generates an income for you. So there's a few different types of income. So it might be employment income, and we'll touch on that a bit later. So working, either one or both of the spouses still working. It may be otherwise generally income from your investments. So you may have a rental property that is still giving you rent, and that's assessed as income. You may have some superannuation that you're drawing upon, and that's effectively what's called deemed for the income test, and or some shares or money in the bank or something like that. So basically it's any asset that you've got that's producing you an income. Centrelink want to know about that. And depending on how much income you're getting, that affects how much age pension you get.
And so just to be clear as well, someone who's getting the age pension can still own their own home as well as an investment property and receive rental income as well?
Yeah, so as long as they're below those certain thresholds. So it depends if you've got a $3 million investment property. Unfortunately not, but you're probably doing okay. But yeah, if they had a $300,000 or $400,000 rental property, they could still be in receipt of the age pension. So how much pension they get, again, reflects upon where they sit against those thresholds. So like the asset test, there's an amount where you can get a full pension. The income test is the same. So again, disclaimer, these do change frequently, but for a single person, we look at this on a per fortnight basis. To get a full pension, a single person can't earn more than $204 a fortnight, up to, fairly significantly, I think, they can earn $2,397 per fortnight. So that's a fair bit of income. And for a couple, a full pension cuts off at $360 up to a part pension at $3,600 odd. So what that generally means is that if you're not doing any work, you might be below that income threshold. You've still got some income coming from your investments, but not much in terms of employment income. If you're working part-time, and we'll get to some work test stuff later and work bonus stuff, but if you're working, you might be above that threshold. You're probably earning more than $200 a fortnight if you're working. Therefore, you'll just get less pension, but you will still be entitled to some pension depending on how much you're working. So income test covers employment income or self-employed income, income from investments like rental properties, or also deemed income from super funds or cash in the bank.
Just going back, you mentioned the word deeming. What is that?
So deeming is something that Centrelink invented, or the government invented, as a nice and convenient way for them to calculate what income you're getting. So there's a lot of work for Centrelink to do. They take a lot of time often to get stuff back to ourselves and to clients and to try and make their job easier. What they do basically is they deem, or for another word, assume what income you're getting from your assets. So rather than asking every single person in Australia, what income are you getting on this bank account? What interest rate are you getting on that bank account? Which super fund are you with? What return do you get? Did you get 4%? Did you get 6%? What they do basically is that they look at all of your assets and they just estimate what income you're getting from that. And that's referred to as deeming. And so there's a couple of thresholds for that. For an initial part of your money, say for a couple, the first $100,000 in assets, they assume that you're only earning 0.25%. And then assets you've got above that, they're assuming you're about 2.25%. So how that might work, try and make that as easy as possible. If you've got, say, $500,000 in superannuation, what they will do is they'll assume that a portion of that's earning 0.25%. So that may, I don't have the calculator in front of you, that may end up being about $8,000 or $9,000 in income. So they'll assume that your super's earning about $9,000 in income. They'll divide that by 26 to get the fortnightly amount, and then they'll assess that as the income you've earned. Now, it's not perfect, but that's the system and that's how it works. So what that means is if you're earning less than that in income, you're being penalised because they think you're earning that. But on the other side, if you're earning more than that in income, particularly with interest rates at the moment, you might have that money in a term deposit earning 4%. Centrelink is only penalising you by about 2.25%. So that's how deeming comes into it. So Centrelink do have the right and they do adjust those deeming rates at different parts of the cycle. There's more likely those deeming rates will go up rather than down, which will affect pensioners in the future, but that's how deeming works. And generally that applies to money in the bank, any shares or managed funds you've got, and money in your superannuation is typically what's covered off by deeming.
Great. So there's a lot of work behind the scenes that gets done about the age pension. But coming back in terms of the age, if I'm, say, 67, but my spouse is 64, how does that work? What happens?
So the 67-year-old can apply for the age pension. And even though one of them is applying, and we do get some confusion with clients when this happens, you're not applying for a single pension. Even though only one of the member of the couple is eligible, you're still applying as part of a couple. So the 67-year-old can apply for the pension and they're applying as a couple. And basically all of their assets are combined together and they go into the calculation. So they can be eligible for the pension. They'll get the lower pension amount, which is the couple amount. I mentioned that the single pension's a bit over $28,000. A couple pension is only about 21. So even though only one member of the couple is receiving it, you still only get that $21,000 pension, not the full $28,000. But ideally at some point, fast forward 2 or 3 years' time, the 64-year-old is now eligible for the age pension and they will also be in receipt of that pension as well. So it is pretty rare that a couple has exactly the same birthday. It probably happens, but not that often. It's pretty frequently that one member of the couple will be getting the age pension, the other one's not in receipt of that age pension, and then maybe 6 months later or 2 years later or 5 years later, the younger spouse is then eligible and they're both in receipt of that pension.
So when the younger spouse gets to the age that they can apply for the age pension, does it get reassessed? Does it work off their current situation and their current financial circumstance.
Yeah, and in that case, if there are 2 or 3 years between, in those 2 or 3 years, a few things might have happened, which is that they've spent some money, they've done some travelling, they're young, they're enjoying retirement. So it may be that when the first member of the couple applied, they had $600,000 in assets and were getting a part pension. If they've now spent some of that, and they're down to $550,000, when the second person applies, they'll be getting more pension based on that $550,000. But it's also important that ideally, at least annually, we're updating assets along the way so that when the younger spouse applies, yes, we update again at that point in time, but they should be pretty close to what's already reported in the system.
We'll be taking a short break and we'll be back right after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to retireright.com.au, click Get Help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted retirement advisors. Our trusted retirement advisors work with clients remotely all over Australia, so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's retireright.com.au and click Get Help to arrange a complimentary discussion to see how they can help.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, we're back and let's talk about the work bonus. So it's just recently been updated. Can you give us a rundown of what has been updated or what it is?
So the work bonus is to encourage and not directly penalise someone who wants to keep working. We spoke about the income test and what income's included, and employment is one of those things that's included. But what the government wanted to do, and this has been around for a while, but you're right, they've recently enhanced it, is what they call the work bonus. So a little bit to wrap your head around, but very simply, basically, the government allows you to earn a certain amount of employment income before they start to penalise your age pension. And that figure is $300 per fortnight. So what that allows you to do is, let's say you were just doing one day a fortnight, you're earning less than $300, you actually would not lose any income. Even though you're earning perhaps above the income amount or the income test, that work bonus allows the first $300 that you earn to not affect it. And that continues obviously even more. Let's say you're earning $500, well, the first $300 doesn't count. They'll only assess the other $200 as part of that.
Just to clarify, is it $300 per person or per fortnight? What if one of the spouses earns a little bit more? How does that kind of work?
So it's $300 per person per fortnight. So the good thing is there is that if both members of the spouse were earning $300 each, well, then neither of that income would need to be reported. So that's significant. $600 a fortnight combined, that's about $15,000 a year. That means you can earn about $15,000 a year and not be penalised on your age pension. So it's really there to encourage some level of work. Now, if you're still working full-time, you're in a high-paid role, you're earning $150,000 a year, it doesn't really help you. You're probably not getting any age pension. But it's really, I suppose, there to help people who are still doing 1 or 2 days a week. They don't want to completely be penalised with their age pension, and it allows them to earn a bit more. And I suppose even on that, the way that it works, if you earn above that, again, just to make that simple, let's say that both members of the spouse were earning $500 each a fortnight, the first $300 would be ignored, so they're only assessed on the other $200 each a fortnight. It doesn't mean that they then lose $200 a fortnight on their pension. It depends if it's above the income test, but generally any income earned above the income test, for a couple, you lose about 50%. Of what the age pension is. So you might still be better off. Again, going back to that, earn $500, I'm only assessed by $200. Of that, only $100 am I going to lose a pension. So I can earn $500 and I've only lost $100 from the age pension. I'm still better off by $400 a fortnight. So it's still to encourage and incentivize people to continue to work.
Does that need to be regular work? Let's say, for instance, someone does a bit more seasonal or on and off work. They might work for 2 weeks and then not work for a month, say. Can that still work?
The great thing is the government thought about this as well, and they've got what's called the Work Bonus Income Bank, which is a nice little name or analogy. And basically what that means is, let's say, like you said, seasonal. I don't work for 10 weeks, but then I work really hard for a couple of weeks. How does that work? Am I getting penalised? What the Centrelink rules allow you to do effectively is to bank that money or bank those 300s per fortnight into this income bonus income bank. And so basically, again, in very round figures, let's say you often start with a balance in this income bank, but don't work for 10 fortnights, that 300 a fortnight banks up, so now we're at $3,000. If that next week you go and do a lot of work and you earn $2,000 in a fortnight, usually that would just wipe out your complete pension. But because of this income bank, all that does effectively is that fortnight you actually wouldn't lose any page pension because you're just going to eat up some of that money you've made of that income bank. So it's a nice way to encourage some of that seasonal work. It might be that retirees travel for 10 weeks and they come back and do a bit of work. It might be certain occupations are seasonal. It might be contractor type of work that still allows you to get that best of both worlds, or working at the polling booth or something like that that you can still do ad hoc, but it's not really going to affect your pension.
I guess it's nice to know that they can work around strategies like that in terms of, you know, if they want to do a couple hours work every fortnight and have a break, then that's great. We often get asked, even here at Financial Edge Group, and some of my clients talk about it as well, gifting. What is it? How much can I do? Can you do it for a number of years, or can you give us a bit of a breakdown on that?
Yeah, it is one of those most, I don't know, talked about topics. It seems to be exciting to gift money away. And often those topics have got the most levels of confusion. So basically where this gifting rule comes into play is around what Centrelink don't want you to do is realise, oh, geez, I'm above these thresholds, let me go and hide $50,000 or $100,000 and I'll give it to my kids or something like that. So that's where these gifting rules have come into play. And basically the way they work is that you can gift up to $10,000 per financial year and that money is not counted towards your asset test. Now, that can be a one-off gift to one person for $10,000. It can be two gifts of $5,000 to two different individuals. It can be $1,000 a month for 10 months. As long as it's over a financial year, it's less than $10,000, that doesn't count towards your age pension. And so today I gift away $10,000. Tomorrow I go back in, I update my bank account, it's gone down by $10,000. I'm going to get some more age pension. You can do that every year, but only 3 years out of five. It sounds complicated, but I can do it this year, I can do it next year, I can do it the year after, but I can't do it for another couple of years until that 5 years kind of goes by. So that's kind of how the year. So you can do it many years, but you can't just do it every single year. And then the other part of gifting I think is important to clarify is the five-year rule when it comes to gifting. And so what that looks like, and we have helped some clients do this recently for different reasons. Let's say that I've got $100,000 and I want to gift that to two kids. I want to give them $50,000 each. So how does that work? It's clearly above the $10,000 threshold. Am I going to go to jail? Am I going to be in trouble? Am I going to lose my pension? Not at all. Basically, what Centrelink does is it says, okay, you've gifted above $10,000. Step one is you're allowed to gift $10,000. So the first $10,000 we don't care about. They only care about the other $90,000 that's above the $10,000 limit. What they do is they go, what is today's date? Okay, that's the date you've gifted that. We're going to assume that's still an asset of yours for 5 years. So my bank account's gone down by $100,000 and they'll take your bank account decreasing or your super balance decreasing, wherever that money's come from, but then they'll add a special asset in there, which is a gift that's been provided on this particular date of $90,000. That still counts for you towards the asset test. It's still deemed for you towards the income test for 5 years. But once 5 years goes by, that then drops off. It's no longer an asset. So it doesn't mean that we don't gift above $10,000. It just means that we don't get any immediate financial benefit from Centrelink by gifting above that. But I would hope that that's never the reason for the gift alone. It's because we want to help someone get married or buy a house or something like that. So we're going to give them that money anyway. But what it means is we tell Centrelink about it. The first $10,000 they ignore. The bit above they count, but they only count it for 5 years. So if I do that when I'm 70, by the time I'm 75, it's no longer counted, that $90,000 or $100,000, And then for the remaining 5, 10, 20 years of my life, I'm still getting more pension because that 5 years has gone by.
Is the same limit for a single person and a couple?
Yeah, the 10,000 applies to either. It doesn't, the single's not halved, but a couple's not doubled. So the husband and wife both can't do 10,000 each. It counts as a couple. So if they tried to do that, the Centrelink would still view that as a $20,000 gift for the couple.
Obviously, everyone wants to try and get the most out of their age pension and in terms of their payment. How can someone get a little bit more in there? What's the type of strategies that you do to get more?
So this is the exciting stuff. And this is what gets us excited when it comes to the age pension. So importantly, it's about getting the right amount or getting the advice to maximise your eligibility for the pension. So there are a few things here. Some we've already touched on and some we'll go in a bit more detail briefly now. So number one is gifting. That again, we would never do a gift just to try and get more pension, but often it does happen that retirees maybe have more assets than they really want or need, and they're just accumulating there. They want to help some kids or grandkids do whatever, then we can do a gift. So we gift $10,000. It doesn't count as an asset, but we've reduced our assets. So that's definitely one strategy that people do. And if we're going to be retired for many years, potentially that can happen over a number of years within those limits and those thresholds. So that's gifting. Another part to legally hide money from the age pension, I suppose, is back to the house. So your house is an ignored asset, or an exempt asset. If we still have debt on our home, so if someone's retired and they've still got $100,000 worth of debt and they're applying for the age pension, we would generally suggest that they pay off that home loan because Centrelink don't give you more if you've still got a debt. If you had $500,000 in the bank and you still had a $100,000 home loan, you wouldn't get a full pension because they just look at the $500,000. If you took $100,000 out to pay off the home loan, well, now your assets are down to $400,000, you're going to get more pension. It sounds simple, but we have seen that happen from time to time. So definitely number one is to clear that debt. But also the home could be improvements. So it may be that we've been planning to update something or do the bathroom or improve our living situation, and we go and spend $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000 improving the home, and that comes out of the bank or comes out of our shares or our superannuation, that means we're going to end up getting more pension. Now, we can't then spend the bathroom renovation later on a trip to Europe, so it's important not to spend all your money upgrading your house, but it is a way that if something you're already thinking about anyway and you're getting an enjoyment or benefit from, it is a way potentially to get some more age pension.
So you mentioned holidays. Say, for instance, someone doesn't want to renovate their house and they'd rather go to Europe and enjoy the warm weather over there. How does that work?
Yeah, definitely. So that's just like spending money. That's a lot of trips to Woolworths to spend $30,000 on a trip to Europe. But definitely, if you book and plan and pay for a trip, a holiday or something like that, that is a nice way to not only enjoy your retirement, enjoy your life, but also reduce your assets for age pension. Now, it's important. A lot of the work that we do with clients is what we call a certainty report to make sure their money's not going to run out in retirement. So perhaps we can't go to Europe or overseas every year just to get the most pension because we might run out at some point in time. But definitely it's a nice way to both enjoy ourselves but also maximise some more age pension.
So I know there's a few more things that we do for our clients in terms of the age pension. Do you want to give us a brief rundown on those ones?
Yeah, a few more things that come to mind. One that is definitely on the radar but less people do is what's called a funeral bond. So you can put money into an investment called a funeral bond where basically you're prepaying your funeral or more, and that is an exempt asset or a hidden asset. That can be up to $14,000 each that you can put into a bond like that passes on to your estate or covers your assets or covers you the cost of something like that that's exempt from the assets. There are some strategies we touched on earlier, younger spouses, and this does happen fairly frequently. And what the biggest thing there is that money inside of superannuation and accumulation phase, which is when you're not taking it out of super, which we've covered in other topics, but money inside of a younger spouse's super is not counted for the age pension. So if one member of the couple is 68, the other one is 64, they both have $500,000 inside of their super or pensions. If the 64-year-old is not currently drawing a pension, it's just in their super, that $500,000 would not be counted for the age pension. And that is a nice way to legally maximise our entitlement, because combined that might be $1 million in assets and they might not be eligible for the age pension. But by because of that age gap, because a 64-year-old is not yet getting the age pension, that money can be, as long as it's set up the right way, and perhaps again the value of an advisor, that can be legally hidden, not counted for the age pension test. And we've got some clients like that now where we've loaded a bit more money into the younger spouse's name to ensure they maximise that age pension.
It's great to know. So what happens when the spouse reaches 67 and they are ready to apply for the pension?
So in that case, it then becomes an assessable asset. So we've enjoyed that for a couple of years. We've maximised their pension. But once that younger person becomes age pension eligible, that, say, $500,000, and if we haven't touched it for a couple of years, might have grown to more than $500,000, then counts towards the age pension. And then in that case, that may knock them out. They may be above the threshold, and then the older spouse loses the pension because their assets combined now are too much, and or they might still get some part pension that would adjust. And what that would be is that the older spouse may get less, but then the younger spouse gets something. So again, we've had that recently where we were doing that. The younger spouse became eligible. So the older spouse lost about 10 grand a year in pension, but the younger spouse started getting 12 grand a year age pension. So financially overall combined, they weren't any worse off because of that age pension. The last thing, again, which we are doing more and more of, and is definitely something to consider for many people, definitely if they're above the full age test and or if they're getting some part pension, is another partly exempt asset, which is what's called an annuity or a lifetime annuity, and that deserves its own separate podcast, and we'll do that at some point. But what an annuity is where you take some money out of the bank, take some money out of your superannuation, and you go and purchase a income stream or a regular income. Let's just call it in round figures, $100,000. I go and take $100,000. I go and put that into an annuity. The annuity company might say, thanks, we'll take your $100,000. We'll pay you $7,000 a year for the rest of your life. So you're going to give that guaranteed income along the way. What Centrelink does is they assess that a bit different to your regular super or pension. What they do is they only assess a portion of that, and they basically only assess at the start 60% of what you put in. So again, using that round figures, $100,000. If you go and use $100,000 to purchase an annuity, you go and update your assets with Centrelink. You say, my super's gone down by $100,000. I've now got this new thing called an annuity. They will go, great, your super's gone down by $100,000. We need to add the annuity of $60,000, but we've still, again, legally hidden $40,000 worth of assets, and that may either A, get you under the asset test, and or it would definitely give you more assets in that setup.
Great, that's all been helpful, and I'm sure that's got a lot of people thinking who are at that stage in their lives. Thanks for joining us, and please make sure to check out our website at Financial Edge Group or the Retire Right Facebook group, which will talk about more information. Also, if you do know someone that would benefit from this podcast and this information, please feel free to share. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work, and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.